we've been misled into thinking of as our government is actually a commercial corporation in the business of providing governmental services. We're all familiar with commercial corporations and how they operate. And the only thing different about this commercial corporation is that it has impersonated our actual government, and it has been operating under color of law for 150 years. They pulled a switcheroo back in the wake of the Civil War, and people just never understood what happened and really weren't educated or told what was going on. That goes to prove to you just how ignorant we've been kept, and how many people, even people that are relatively high up in the government, don't realize what they're really dealing with. Yeah, well, you're wondering, how are they getting away with it? And there is a simple answer. They're operating under Roman civil law.
If you have not been looking at C60 as a means to significantly improve your health and your immunities, you should be. Here's why. First, a strong and healthy immune system is your body's first defense. And for those with a strong immune system, your body will adequately fight illnesses without medical intervention. Second, C60 is safe. As long as you're taking a high quality C60 with no added fillers or solvents. Third, C60 is the best means of removing free radicals from your body that exist. It's at least 200 times better at this function than vitamin C and any other antioxidant. This is the magic. When you free up your body's resources from fighting free radicals, they then can focus their attention on healing. Every person has different needs, but the magic begins when your body can start to heal. So now it becomes clear, you need the best free radical fighter that exists, and that is C60 with black seed oil and curcumin. Go to sarahwestall.com/shop and learn more about why this formula is so powerful. Also available by diffuser with ultra refined C60 oil to safely get directly into your lungs. It's also the best way to help your family pets by just being in the same room. Be sure to read the research and, of course, use the current coupons to save money when you buy. Patrons also receive a 10% discount. You can find that code at patreon.com/Sarah Wessel. Remember, keeping you and your family safe is the most important thing you can do. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have Anna Van Reitz coming back to the program, and she's going to explain how we can become Americans and not British subjects that she claims that we are, and we're going to talk about that. I don't know about you, but this election and the obvious fraud and the illegitimate presidency of Biden and the military the military dictatorship that he looks like he's doing right now, you know, the occupation of Washington, D.C., the executives, or he's done more executive orders than any president in U.S. history at this point, like way more than any other U.S. president. And I am just, this whole thing is just shocking, watching the media lie and cover. I mean, it's, if you're not traumatized into saying something is fundamentally wrong here, then you haven't been paying attention. And that's why I wanted to talk to Anna, and I want to find out what the heck. I want to be a sovereign citizen. I don't want to be controlled anymore. I want to get my rights back. And she says it's not get your rights back, it's to exercise your rights. And she corrects me. And so she's going to explain, this is a interesting, very good conversation. For people who don't know who Anna Van Reitz is, she has been working on common law. She's saying that the United States, we need to get ourselves back to being U.S., United States citizens, not citizens, to be one of the people of, you know, to be an American. And that, I'm not talking right. The language is very important. Saying every little thing is the detail, saying it properly. And she corrects me when I don't. And it's good. You'll learn throughout this. And I'm going to do it. It's a one-page form. There's an assembly formed in my state. I'm going to go forward and do this and say, I want to exercise my rights, and I'm tired of what I'm seeing here, and I don't like the fraud and the corruption and the abuse of all of us, whether it's COVID, whether it's this election, whether it's the human trafficking, all these things that they are not doing right. And she's saying they were hired as a corporation to run the government for us, and they should be taking direction from us, and we have not done our duty. And she's going to explain that to us. But I want to warn you, before you get into this, I want to apologize. I am using the wrong microphone. So I don't know how good I'm going to sound throughout this interview. And so I apologize. I think it's okay. It's just not up to what I like to have as a standard. So I was using the wrong microphone. That's all I got to say. And I want to tell you also, my Patreon was taken down, suspended. And so I have another site that is up. I'm just finalizing the ability to do subscriptions. It's going to be truth.sarahwestell.com. It's going to be under that. And I also have a website that's already been, a domain that's been created. So if this thing ends up going into something more and becomes a life of its own, because it is a whole system like Facebook. I mean, we have our own whole rich environment to ourselves. And I'm hoping people will engage and really talk about truth and different things and topics that you're not allowed to talk about in public on these other forums without having problems. And you can do it in a private community. And I'll also be posting my exclusives, and people who are members will get discounts on products and all those things. But I have a domain called Ebonair.world, because I think it's a worldwide initiative, but Ebonair.world. And Ebonair means truth in Javanese, which is the country of Java or Indonesia. And so, and my daughter, being honest, of all the different names that we came up with, my daughter thought it sounded the best. So she goes, oh, that sounds cool. So I guess that's why we picked it. But, and I think it, because it kind of sounds cool too. So Ebonair.world is what it'll eventually be. But right now, and maybe I'll always be under this under my domain, truth.sarahwestell.com. And people will be able to register there. But right now, it is still in beta form. And once you will be able to register, you'll be able to go to sarahwestell.com/subscribe, and all of that will be under there, and it'll be really straightforward for you. It's in beta mode right now, so just give us a couple more days. By the end of the week, it'll be done before the end of January. If it's February 1, it will be up, so you can count on it. So actually, I want it done by the end of the week. Anyways, okay, and I want to remind you the masks. I have more different styles, more things that you can pick. Be a walking billboard. Tell your governor that you're as useless as this mask. Or tell people this mask is useless at stopping COVID-19, and so is yours. Those are the kind of masks I have. So look at them. They're fun, but they're serious in the sense that it's real. You know, it's a good to have a walking billboard. They're forcing this crap down our throat. It's not good science. We all know it. In my state, and I know other states are like this, they're forcing young adults and kids, high school students, to wear masks when they play games and they exercise. They're passing out. They're throwing up. It's ridiculous. It's abusive. They are abusing the people. And it's just they've gone over the rails, and we're all seeing it. And so hopefully you can wake up more people with these masks. So anyways, you can get that at Sarah Westall under shop. Let's get into this really good conversation and interview with Anna Von Reitz. Anna, thank you so much for rejoining the program. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
I have a lot of questions for you. I started thinking after the obvious coup and Biden cheating on this election, and that Donald Trump obviously won and they had to fix the whole thing. Then after that, the courts were in unison, not willing to listen to the case. That made me think, I mean, I know there's blackmail, I know there's bribery, but is blackmail and bribery enough to have all the courts in unison not listen to a case that had over 50,000 affidavits? And it was just this incredible situation. How do they control that? Looking at common law and everything that you've been doing, how does that work?
Well, basically, what we've been misled into thinking of as our government is actually a commercial corporation in the business of providing governmental services. And it is a privately owned and for-profit commercial corporation, like any commercial corporation, like GM or McDonald's or Dairy Queen. We're all familiar with commercial corporations and how they operate. And the only thing different about this commercial corporation is that it has impersonated our actual government, and it has been operating under color of law for 150 years. They pulled a switcheroo back in the wake of the Civil War, and people just never understood what happened and really weren't educated or told what was going on. And as a result, you've got this private foreign business enterprise acting as your government. And they are, of course, influenced by profit motives and many other things which are improper to a government. And as a result, we've been in a situation where these foreign entities, two of them, one that is primarily British influenced and one that is influenced by the, or actually run by the Holy Roman Empire, the municipal government, have been colluding with each other and alternately fighting with each other over the market share and the duties and the work to be done that they then get paid for by the American people.
Is that what we're watching right now, is a fight over the ownership of a corporation?
You're actually seeing two gigantic governmental services corporations at odds with each other because they have different jobs and different priorities. Essentially, too, the municipal corporation has become increasingly corrupt and criminal in its administration, whereas to some extent, the territorial British-influenced organization has taken its duty more seriously because they're the military contractors.
Okay, well, how did the court, I mean, what happens? Does a message come down through the ownership that this is how you need to decide on these cases when it's their important cases? I mean, how does that work where they uniformly do something when it doesn't make sense to what they're supposed to be, the way they communicate what they're supposed to be doing? It's at odds with what they communicate.
Okay, well, it depends upon the subject matter and jurisdiction of the court in any given situation. We think of the United States Supreme Court as being this monolithic, do-all, be-all, you know, the nine justices and their robes, and that this is where we go for our final arbitration of everything. But in fact, that isn't the way it works. And you may have seen the beginning to this was when all of these state of state attorney generals banded together at one time. I think there were 17 of them that were going to make application to the court in original jurisdiction to bring suits against the election fraud. And actually, the court could not hear that, and they could not bring that in original jurisdiction because as state of state organizations that are operated as franchises of a commercial corporation, they can't reach original jurisdiction. You have to have standing in order to enter original jurisdiction to bring a case in original jurisdiction before the Supreme Court. So there's a block there that even the state of state attorney generals were not aware of. That goes to prove to you just how ignorant we've been kept and how many people, even people that are relatively high up in the government, don't realize what they're really dealing with. And so it's as a corporation matter, it's inside that corporation. And it's a private corporation, so Their internal tribunal functions as a court for that corporation are limited by the subject matter and jurisdiction that they can hear related to any given question or issue.
Would the management of the ownership and management of this corporation be able to tell them how they should be deciding on a case?
Well, since 1991, there hasn't really been any other restriction set upon the courts except to have direction from their corporate masters. In 1991, and I argue that this is null and void anyway, it's all null and void because it's all ultra-virus activity on the part of the members of Congress acting in capacities that were improper or misrepresented to the people ever since the 1860s.
Exactly. Okay? Yep.
So it's all just bunk. But back in 1990-91, the Congress changed the oath that the judges take, which required the judges to act in ways that were in agreement with the Constitution. And what that did was it detached the judicial branch from the constitutional obligations, but did make that remained because of their employment and because of their conflict of interest, because they're employees of these corporations. It did then essentially place the judiciary under the thumb of the Congress. And so the Congress has been playing crack the whip with the judiciary ever since. That in itself is a crucial issue, because if the judges have no obligation to perform according to the Constitution, then anything that the corporate board of trustees that the Congress functions as in the municipal government tells them, that's what they carry out, because it's considered just an in-house tribunal for the corporation.
And that's why it didn't get anywhere. So,
right.
And it's so obvious to people that there's something wrong, right? Now, what's going on with the two factions fighting then? You're saying that we have two corporations that are just not approving of each other. What is happening? And because everything seems very strange. And then we need to talk about China and how that fits in.
Okay. Well, let's take a step back and bring everybody forward rapidly. At the end of the Civil War, our American federal subcontractor, which was supposed to do the bulk of the work and the oversight for the federal government, was rendered incapacitated. So it's been missing in action for 160 years. And that left the two remaining federal subcontractors, the territorial British government and the subcontractor, and the Holy Roman Empire municipal government subcontractor in charge of the federal government functions. And that's the source of the emergency and all of the declarations of war, which are actually all commercial conflicts, mercenary conflicts, that have taken place since. So these two foreign subcontractors are left. And oh, by the way, they fought each other in the Civil War, so they didn't like each other at all. The British territorial government was intent on collecting reparations from the municipal Papist government, okay? But anyway, these two subcontractors that were left after the Civil War continued to fight each other and continued to collect money back and forth and everything for years until 1937. When they issued something called the Declaration of Interdependence of the Governments in the United States. And then they began colluding together to fleece us. Instead of fighting each other, okay, they were fleecing us. And they set up this system where they identified us, misidentified all of us, as either a territorial system, a citizen, or a municipal citizen, say. And then they put us in the middle and used us as the punching bag. But in 1870, they passed what's known as the Corporations Act. The municipal government did this. And the Corporations Act is an usurpation against our government and against our constitutions and against commercial law and international law, because we never gave the Holy Roman Empire entity the right or duty to create corporations for us.
You're saying the whole thing is fraud and illegal?
Yes, it's all bunk.
They're lying to us, obviously, constantly on everything.
Yeah.
The elections, none of them are real, it looks like, if this is the case. I suppose they make some real just because they don't care about them, but the ones they care about, they fix. Now, question for you, what do you think is going to happen? Because at this point, it seems that something is going to happen or there's going to be a complete breakdown.
Well, think about this. The British territorial government has a function related to our military. The British monarch, by contract, is our trustee on the high seas and navigable inland waterways, and has a responsibility, a duty, to protect us on the high seas and navigable inland waterways. And as a result, on the high seas and navigable inland waterways, the command of the U.S. Navy and the U.S. Marine Corps lies with the British monarch and nobody else. Okay. On land, the responsibility for that lies with our government, but specifically with the US Army, which as an entity in and of itself has been entrusted with our safety and defense since 1863, when Lincoln issued what is known as General Order 100. And all of the branches that have derived from that, from the US Army, including the Air Force, are under that whole hegemony on the land and around the coastal waters too. So we do still have control of our Coast Guard, or should have control of our Coast Guard, within the perimeter of the coastal waters. So those are things that are sorted out from the Civil War and have never changed. We've been under a armed encampment throughout this entire country ever since the Civil War. It's simply been our own army that has been encamped. The occupation has been controlled, however, by an international military protectorate, because of the role of the British monarch as our trustee on the high seas and navigable inland waterways. Okay, so we've been under martial law since 1863, and once you really realize that, everything begins to make a lot more sense. Now, the obligation of the British territorial subcontractor is to protect us and to protect our interests in a military sense. And so you're seeing what is known as the USA Inc. at odds with the Pope's municipal government, which has become radically profit-oriented and communistic in its viewpoint. So they ran up a huge, huge debt, basically siphoning off payments that were supposed to be made to China in exchange for Chinese goods. And if you can imagine the trade between the U.S., meaning the municipal United States, and China as a pipeline, like an oil pipeline, it has a beginning and an end point, right? And the goods and the money can flow either way, right? So the Chinese fill the pipeline with goods. They're received by the U.S. we pay for them at the cash register, but then the money that we send back arrives in China and gets siphoned off by Chinese generals and party hacks and whatnot. And this appears to create a giant debt, even though we're paying for the Chinese goods, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so both ends of the pipeline are siphoning money off of this trade. And they're building up this huge, huge debt. And it's all being addressed to us as if we're not paying.
And we are. And so we're getting the short end of the stick. So now what are we seeing then with this buildup of China and this communist takeover?
You are seeing the members of the municipal Congress, which has nothing to do with us. I mean, we're talking about a municipal corporation that is under contract to provide us with specific services, but otherwise has nothing to do with us. We're seeing a commercial corporation which has been bankrupted and which is now trying to boot up a new front for itself, is trying to set up a new corporation, a new municipal corporation. And the Chinese have been invested in by this corporation for us. So they've taken money from us and invested it in China. And China now holds control of all the assets that were given to them as investments by this foolish Congress.
So now, how do we fix this? Are you saying that, I know I've heard you in different shows and different things, that there's a move to fix this and that it's happening right now in a big way? Is that true? Is that happening? And will we see something?
Well, we have to see something come out of all of this, because when you start discussing this, it becomes readily apparent that vast amounts of crime have occurred.
It's incredible.
And vast, yes. Oh yeah, and vast usurpation of powers, misrepresentation and fraud. I mean, fraud on a scale that's unimaginable, and for a long time.
Yeah, well, and then they add in the COVID stuff too, which is another whole layer of fraud and just incredible corruption. So go ahead.
There's a simple way of ending the whole COVID scam. All you have to do is outlaw their ability to make claims based on the injection of patented mRNA. If you take away their profit motive, they won't do it.
I could see that. But who is going to take their profit margin away? This banana Congress that we have? I mean, who would even do it?
The Americans would do it.
But how?
We would do it.
How do we do it? We do it through our real country. And I mean, keep going.
We do what we're supposed to do and what we know we're supposed to do. And that is self-govern. I don't know, you know, what it is that, you know, people have heard this all their lives. Yes, we're a self-governing nation. And yet, every 4 years, they hand off their proxy to somebody else to govern them for them. Hello, when's the last time that you actually went to a public meeting and decided anything? Isn't it more like you go to a meeting and they take public commentary and then they do whatever they want to do?
That's exactly what happens.
The public has its own organizations and its own body that it makes the decisions and tells them what to do. They are our employees. They are supposed to be doing what we tell them to do, not us going to them and pleading for them to do what we want. Okay, so there's a difference.
Even with this contracted corporation setup we have, that's how it's supposed to work.
That's how it's supposed to work. But we have been unknowingly contracting in as if we were voluntarily subjecting ourselves to our employees. Okay, and so what we need to do is, number one, declare ourselves properly as Americans, not Brits, not Roman, Holy Roman Catholic papists in the municipal government, not them, just to stand up as, okay, we're Americans, we're here, we're self-governing, and we are populating our states of the union, and we are operating our state governments, and we are calling our own congresses and our own body politic to decide these things. We have every right to do so. They're under contract to us. We're not, you know, obligated to them. And so we have called the assemblies in every state. People have said, okay, well, I'm an American. I was born here. And they are operating their state assemblies. And we've already done some very important work. For example, all of the territorial states that have been formed under the Northwest Ordinance since the 1860s, including West Virginia, right in the middle of the Civil War, have been left as territorial states because there was nobody operating the actual government that was competent to enroll them as a land and soil jurisdiction state of the Union. There was nobody operating that jurisdiction, and as a result, they've remained territorial states all these years. And they haven't even known it. I mean, states like Utah and Idaho and Montana and, you know, all the West Coast states except Oregon and California are all of those Western states have been territories. They've had a contract with the corporation to treat them as if they were states, but that's not the same as being a state. So one of the pieces of business that we already addressed since the assemblies have assembled is a roll call vote to enroll the Western states. And now all of a sudden the Western states are fully fledged states of the union.
How do we participate? You have that one form. I actually printed it out and I would like to do it for myself. Once you fill it out, you have this one form to become a citizen, right? And what happens to you? Nothing happens. You fill it out, you register it with your state. And does anything change in your relationship with the corporation?
Okay. What you're talking about is a declaration. And basically what it says is, I'm an American. I was born in Klamath Falls, Oregon, and I'm, you know, July 18th, blah, blah. And I claim all of my inheritance as an American, and I claim all of my personal, you know, all my private property assets and blah, 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 blah. It's only one page long. You sign it. Then you have two witnesses, people that know you well enough to know that you are the person that was referenced by the birth certificate, right? And you're essentially taking your identity and moving it from the international jurisdiction of the sea back to the international jurisdiction of the land belonging to your state. You're placing that entity, that person, under public law, all right? It doesn't matter where you're standing, you still have rights, but in one situation, you are being protected by the British monarch and being forced to act as a British subject. And in the other position, you're acting as an American standing on the land of your state, and you are then an independent sovereign, okay? And you're not a citizen of your state unless you take that on as part of your responsibility to self-govern. There's a difference. People aren't aware that there's a difference between a national and a citizen. We are all born on a particular state. Okay, say I was born in Wisconsin, okay? I'm a Wisconsinite. I'm a Wisconsinite from the day I was born until the day I die. That's my nationality. We take our nationality from our states, not from some big polyglot of all the states joined together, but from each individual state. So in a broader sense, I'm an American because I'm a Wisconsinite, and Wisconsin is part of the United States of America, right?
Yeah.
But when you get right down to brass tacks, I'm a Wisconsinite, I'm an American, and that's all I have to be. I don't have to have any obligation to the government as a whole, other than keeping the peace. So that's a national status. I'm a freeborn woman. I get to decide whether I'm going to serve the state government or not as a citizen. Okay, I have no obligation to the government other than keeping the peace. As long as I don't go out and hurt somebody or destroy their property, I can do what I please, all right? A state citizen.
Would you be subject to the laws that they create then?
No, not really. What happens is that laws are created by legislatures for citizens, for people who are actually administering the government in some regard. A citizen, the very word citizen comes from city, which refers back to the municipal government and the city of Rome, okay? City government all comes from Rome, Roman civil government, blah, 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 as far back as we can see. And so when you say that you're a citizen, you're saying that you have an obligation to serve the government in some capacity. And so those of us who are not citizens don't have that obligation to serve the government. Now, as nationals, we can still self-govern. We can still take part and we can still maintain and have a voice in what happens in our state, right?
Yeah.
But we don't have a specific obligation to the government.
Well, when the government forces you to pay taxes, you know, the federal taxes, those kinds of things, are you obligated to do that?
If you have federal income, you have to pay a federal income tax. But if you're not an employee or dependent of the federal government, and you're not receiving federal income, you don't owe any federal income tax and never have.
And how about the state tax? Is it works the same way? Like if you don't work for the state?
Under this current crazy system that they worked out, all of the state of state entities are not the state. They are business enterprises that provide governmental services for a state trust that was established after the Civil War, which is controlled by foreign entities again. So these state of state organizations tax people for the services, and they also then decree and demand and create those services without direction. So it would be like you hire a housekeeping service, and your instruction to them is that you're supposed to sweep the floors and mop them as needed and dust the furniture and make sure that the furnace is kept on at 68 degrees. You know, whatever instructions you gave them. You leave. You're gone. Nobody knows what happened to you. And so the housekeeping staff over time decides, well, you know, we got to add cleaning the rain gutters, and we have to do carpet shampooing, and we have to do pet waste removal. And yeah. They start adding all these additional services, right? And they are charging you, they're charging your trust, your state trust, for all these additional services. And as they are racking up all these additional services, of course, they're making more money. So they're highly motivated to continue this process of selling you more and more and more services and charging your state trust more and more for them. And what they do then is double dip. They not only charge your state trust for performing these services, they charge you for performing these services. So they get paid twice. Sometimes they get paid 3, 4, 5 times for the same services.
So where does this money go? Who is collecting and making a haul?
Well, the banks are, first and foremost. The insurance companies are. All of the securities brokerages are. All of the state-of-state organizations are. All of the agencies of the federal government are. All these guys are on the take one way or another.
But how about the people? Who are the owners of these corporations? And are they the very wealthiest in our world that we just don't know, or what?
Well, the Queen is the Queen of the Commonwealth, right? And the British territorial entity is a Commonwealth entity. So the Queen siphons off all the profit from the British territorial entity, and the Pope gets a cut. And with the municipal entity, the Pope is the major recipient, and the Queen gets a little dab, and they collude this way. So that the Pope and the Queen have been making out like bandits and leaving us to pay everything. In fact, we have had to pay for 2 complete layers of government. For example, you have the Internal Revenue Service, which is the territorial version. And then you also have the IRS, which is the municipal version. And we have been billed for the services of both. And you can take that all the way down the line. There's the Department of Labor, you know, the United States Department of Labor. And then there's the DOL. And that's, again, the territorial government and the municipal. No.
So the abbreviated form is different than the long version form. And we pay double.
Right.
The thing is that is so hard for people. It's kind of like you tell a massive lie and then you hide it. You don't talk about it. That's what's so hard is people have a hard time with huge lies because people wouldn't, how could you possibly lie that much? That's why it works when you tell a huge lie and you keep saying it over and over and over again from a marketing standpoint, they eventually believe it because they're thinking nobody would ever lie like that. The same thing works in opposite from a psychological standpoint. If you do a huge lie and then you hide it, nobody believes it as well because it's just nobody would do that. You know, that's the psychological thing that's going on here.
Yeah, well, you're wondering how are they getting away with it? And there is a simple answer. They're operating under Roman civil law.